We continue our series, Following Jesus, and this morning we're looking at launching out into the deep, and we are in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 15, and a familiar story of Jesus calling the disciples. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night hard and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they cut such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up from shore, left everything, and followed Jesus. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, this morning we're looking at following Jesus, and we're looking at launching out into the deep. Heard about this farmer who lived near this sort of a medium-sized lake, and the farmer happened to notice that every once in a while this man would come to fish, and he'd pull up his truck and launch a boat, and he noticed that the man didn't have any fishing poles, but he always came back an hour or so later with a large string of fish, and so he began to be suspicious about that, and so he called up the game warden about it. And he told the game warden, so the game warden said, "I'm going to check into that." And so the game warden came one day, not in his uniform, but in just plain clothes. And sure enough, this gentleman pulled up with this truck and this boat, began to launch the boat. And so the game warden in his plain clothes went up, just began to talk to this man who was going fishing and chatted with him, changed pleasantries. And so the man invited the game warden to go fishing with him. And so he agreed, and so they went out in the boat, and they went about 30 minutes away, and the man began to pull out some sticks of dynamite, and the game warden said, "Wait a second, that's illegal. You're not allowed to fish with dynamite." Well, the man calmly lit one of the sticks of dynamite, handed it to the game warden, and said, "You're going to talk or you're going to fish?" I like that anyway. Well, this morning, Jesus is going to talk and fish, but no dynamite. But it is an explosive truth if we really apply it to our lives this morning. So I invite you to walk back with me in the story this morning, or boat back with me this morning into the story. And so the story is this, that Jesus was going to the edge of the Sea of Galilee, and he began to teach people, and the crowd grew and grew. And so Jesus noticed there were two boats there, and he asked to get into one of the boats and to push out from shore a little ways. And so I think the first truth we come to this morning we can realize is to invite Jesus into our lives. This story is interesting because it's sort of a living parable, I think acted out and that we can apply to our lives. And so these were not fishermen who were just doing it as a hobby. They did it as a career, as a business. And so they did it. They'd been at it all night. And Jesus asked to get into one of their boats, really to get into their life, into their business. So I don't know whatever your life is. Maybe you're a teacher, or maybe you're a doctor or nurse or plumber, whatever it is, or just a parent at home or a retired person. Invite Jesus into your life and amazing things can happen. And so Peter, even though he was discouraged from having fished all night and not caught anything, no doubt was tired, invited Jesus into his boat. And I think that's something we all need to do, to invite Jesus into our lives. The next thing is to trust in his word. Of course, the Sea of Galilee is rather jagged in certain parts of it, and so there's natural inlets. And today, if you have a large crowds of people there, it's actually easier to hear if a person gets out in a boat a little ways from shore and begins to speak. And so Jesus goes out in a boat, and of course he sits down. That's the custom of the rabbis of the day. But also, if you are a fisherman, you don't really like people standing in the boat. So Jesus was sitting. He was teaching the crowds. And I think that Peter and James and John, really the whole crowd, was not just listening to Jesus, but they were also learning to trust in his word. And I think that's a truth that we can apply to our lives. Not just listen to God's word, but to trust in God's word. And that's important. And we sometimes do that a little at a time, do we not? So Peter, amidst the busyness of life, the discouragement of having worked all night long, and the disappointment of not having caught any fish, invites Jesus into his boat, and he begins to trust Jesus. We begin to trust and we begin to listen in his word. And many times we find that it's life-changing step by step. And so after he had listened for a while, Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Put out into the deep." Now, there's some translations that say launch into deep, and I rather like that old term, launch into deep. It just seems so active and amazing. And as many of you may know, you can't stay at shore if you want to catch the big fish. They're out away from shore. And so Jesus told Peter to launch out into the deep. Now, Peter responded, "Master, we've fished all night but haven't caught a thing." Now, Peter knew that at that time in the Sea of Galilee, the time to fish was at night, not during the day. But Peter said, "Because you say so, we'll do that." So Peter was willing to do the extra work, the extra effort to take that additional step of faith, which is something that we need to do, and to launch into the, and then to let down his nets. And the most amazing thing happened. As they did so and took that step of faith, they found that they had an incredible catch of fish. They used these nets they throw out, big nets, took more than a person to pull them in. And the catch was so big that it began to overwhelm the boat, and so much so they invited their friends to come, and both boats were full. And so they were willing to take the step of faith and not just listen, but trust in God's word. And I wonder where perhaps you might be this morning where you could take a step of faith. Perhaps God has been whispering to you in something, and you could take a step of faith to do something new in your life. And I think you're never too old, you're never too young to take a step of faith and to move into something new. I love the story of Branch Ritchie, and I don't know if you know the story. He was an amazing person in baseball. And as a matter of fact, one of the things he did was he was the manager of the New York Dodgers at the time when they got Jackie Robinson to become a Major League Baseball player. He's credited with helping to overcome the race barrier in Major League Baseball. He also was a person that instituted spring training, the batting cage, and batting helmets. And a person of deep faith, and he was a motivational speaker later in life. And he was giving a motivational speech in his mid-80s. And a reporter came up to him and said, "Mr. Ritchie, with all the amazing accomplishments that you've done in life, what is the greatest thrill that you've ever had?" And Branch Ritchie thought for a moment and looked at the reporter and said, "Son, my greatest thrill hasn't happened yet." You know, that's an amazing thing to say in your mid-80s, to be able to say, after accomplishing all those things, my greatest thrill hasn't happened yet. I think many times in life, God is always putting something new out in front of us. Where can you take a step of faith into something new? Maybe it's a new ministry. Maybe it's a new job. Maybe it's a new mission. Maybe it's just reaching out to someone new and inviting them to experience Jesus. And so that's the final thing. So to open our lives to Christ, to be able to trust in his word, and then to take a step of faith, and then to invite others to experience Christ. You notice that Peter and his friends just didn't keep the fish in their boat. They invited their friends to come and to experience the catch and help as well. And so I think that's a symbol that for all of us, we need to invite others. Our church needs to be a place that welcomes everyone. The fish often in the Gospels and actually through all the Bible are sort of symbols of people coming to God. And so in a very real sense, the catch was too great for any one boat. And so they were inviting others to come into that, and they didn't really know the potential that was there. Peter, in his step of faith, didn't realize that 3 years from then, as he began to follow Christ, that he would be speaking on the first day of Pentecost for the new church, and that over 3,000 people would come to Christ. What is God pulling you into today that you can experience that blessing of a new step of faith and invite others to experience that step of faith as well, to invite others to experience Christ? That reading that Julie read from Hebrews chapter 11, I love that. You know, what is faith? It's the conviction of things not seen. And we hope for things that we can't see and can't touch, but we know that God brings them alive in our lives. I challenge you today or later this week to read the rest of Hebrews 11, which is known as the Hall of Faith. And so it begins with Abraham and Sarah, how that God had called them. And there's a great phrase I love, going not knowing, which is really a great definition of faith. Now, in the fall, we finished up our series on Abraham and Sarah, but Abraham and Sarah are really the definition of faith. And what do they do is their first step of faith? God called them from Ur, more than 1,000 miles to a place they didn't know where they were going. But they had to be willing to take that first step of faith, and God blessed them along the way. It was an incredible adventure, to be sure. God promised them a nation. God promised them a new place to stay, a new home, a son, which took years and years to be fulfilled, but God was true to his promises. And I think the same in our life. I think of David, who was willing to take a stone and go up against the giant Goliath. I don't know what you're facing today, but God is probably whispering to all of us to take a step of faith, to do something new, to launch out into the deep, and God can do amazing things in our hearts and lives. In my own life, when I just was starting seminary, my first semester of seminary, I had a family situation. I had to go back home and withdraw from school, and then that cleared up, and then I was ready to go back to seminary. And I called up the registrar, and I said, you know, is everything clear if I wanted to come back? And she said, yeah. And so it was at Yale in New Haven, Connecticut. And she said, everything's fine. She said, there's just only one thing. We have a place for you, but we don't have a room for you, right? So I said, well, in a day before internet, you folks can appreciate that. The early service go, huh? But in a day before internet, I said, well, what am I supposed to do? She said, well, there's some people around campus who often rent out their rooms to college students. And I said, well, do you know any of them? She said, no, but you can come and try. So I was in Pennsylvania, northwestern Pennsylvania, and drove on a Saturday to Connecticut, to New Haven, and I got my registration done, and then I said to the registrar, by the way, did you find anybody that had an open room? And she said, no. And I said, well, just go down the street and start going from door to door. And not necessarily me, but I said, okay, because after all, the sun was starting to set. So I took my little Volkswagen down there and was still loaded up with all my stuff. And it was an old Volkswagen Squareback. And so I drove down to the street, and it really was a wealthy neighborhood, which, you know, has its pluses and minuses. But anyway, I parked, and I just happened to park against the biggest, probably the most expensive mansion I could ever imagine, even on that street of mansions. And so I thought, well, you know, if you're going to go big, right? If you're going to get turned down by a really good place. And so I sat there, and I remember so distinctly, I just put my head on the steering wheel and said this prayer. And it was not long, it was not eloquent, but it was desperate. And it may even have had some off-color words, you know, or something, and I don't know. But anyway, I prayed, and so then I thought, all right. And so I got out, and then this gate of this mansion was partway open. I thought, oh, I'm just going to go through that. Of course, I had this big iron gate. And I walked in, and it was this huge courtyard, beautiful gardens. And then so I walked up to the door, and it's one of those, like, castle doors. You know what I'm talking about? It's dark oak with just a little window. And so I said, here we go. So I knocked on the door, and this little old lady answers the door, and she says, hi, son. I was young then. She said, how are you today? And I said, well, I'm just fine. And she said, well, what can I do for you? And I said, well, as it so happens, I'm, you know, going to seminary over here, and I need a place to stay this semester. And she said, well, come on in. So she, would you like a glass of iced tea? Sure, why not? I mean, nothing else I got to do. So sat down and had some iced tea. Turns out her daughter was going to college in Arizona to be a marine biologist. And so we were chatting about, you know, the scuba diver and what have you. So chatting with her. And then, so after a little while, having iced tea with her, she said, well, when did you need the room by? And I said, well, would you believe tonight? She said, really? She said, well, you seem like a nice young man. We'll go ahead and do that. And so she said, I just want to make sure this room is okay. So we went up. There was like this spire, this circular staircase up to the top of this like crenellated room. And the room, a window out into the courtyard, and she said, do you think this will do? And I said, I think this will do. So I had the nicest room there of all of my college life. And so did take a step of faith, a prayer. Now, the only thing there is I did invite all my friends to, you know, come and stay at this house. But it's amazing, sometimes we have to be put in a place where we're desperate. We've got no place to look but up to God to come through with a miracle for us to take the next step. And I think in those moments we know how real God comes through and how true God is to his promises. Thinking about steps of faith, last July we celebrated, you'll recall, the 50th anniversary of man's first flight to the moon and the first steps on the moon. And a little known fact that a lot of folks don't know is that while the lunar lander was there in the Sea of Tranquility between the time it was landing and before the first walk on the moon, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin were told to just take a few moments to rest up. Very stressful landing, almost ran out of fuel, as a matter of fact. But one of the things they had prepared for was they actually took Holy Communion on board the lunar lander with NASA's approval. In fact, a special kind of package things, and it's interesting to have them talk about how they kind of put the juice into the cup with zero gravity and how it kind of flowed around in circles. But what they did in preparation for that very stressful moment when they took the first step onto the moon, which was truly a step of faith, was to pray and have Holy Communion. Now, NASA didn't share that with the whole world. They worried about some kind of pushback, but they did ask the whole world to pray and to lift them up for a moment before God. And for them, it meant a lot, and they've shared that sense. And so I think it's a beautiful moment because we think about Abraham and Sarah taking a step of faith. We think about Peter taking a step of faith, but also Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin and others who've taken bold steps into the future. You and I might not have a bold step quite like that, but God calls us each to some kind of step of faith that is amazing and wonderful and sometimes very difficult. And sometimes even in a moment of discouragement and disappointment and being tired like Peter was after having fished all night. I want to close with this thought. Once when I was younger, I was the counselor, one of the counselors at a youth camp. And we were busy most of the time, but on a couple afternoons, you got to pick something that the youth were doing and do that too. And so I chose zip lining. All right, does anyone ever zip line? Any zip liners there? Not as many as the early service. But anyway, perhaps not a surprise. But anyway, this was back in the old days where there weren't as many regulations. And so the deal was, in fact, my daughter and I went zip lining, and it was one of those places where it was some friends of ours, and it was kind of like from one tree, it was about 15, 20 feet up in the ground. It went down to the tree house, which is maybe 10 or 12 feet above ground. And so nothing really bad could happen with that. We had a little safety cord on there too. Well, this wasn't anything like that. This was up on a hillside. It was probably, I'm going to say it was at least a football field long, maybe longer, up a hillside, fairly steep, out over a lake. And the zip line actually went across the lake, but it really sort of ended abruptly. And so, at the shore. So the deal was, as I'm standing up there, was listening to the instructor, was that you needed to hold on to the zip line. There was no safety harness, by the way, but there was this netting down over the trees, right, the top of the trees, which really looked more decorative than anything else, to be honest with you. You really didn't want to give that a try. And so the deal was you're supposed to grab onto the zip line thing and then just let go and then go shooting down. And I mean, it was flying, and then go out over the water. And then when the water got deep, roughly deep enough, let go, right? But don't keep going because the water gets shallow back on the other shore because that's a bad thing, we were told. I believed him. I trusted his word. So I saw other people doing that, and so my turn came, and so I just went, here we go. And so I held on to that baby and went flying down over there, wondering how I could hang on. I don't think I could hang on today, I can tell you that. And then I shot out over the water, and sure enough, I got to where I thought it would, pretty deep. Deep water is good at that point, not shallow water, and let go, and, you know, it was amazing. I was glad when it was over. But I'll tell you what, it was a rush. And I think maybe in our own lives of faith, sometimes that's the way it is, right? It's like a bit like a zip line to go ahead and listen, trust somebody, hopefully the Lord and his word, and to be able to hold on to that truth, but to be daring enough, bold enough to let go. To not let go of God, but to let go of our own control, right? Because most of us want to control things. I'm kind of that way too. We want to kind of hang on to things, but to let go and to trust God. And I think when we do that, we'll find some amazing adventures in life. Now, God doesn't promise it will always be easy. Sometimes it's hard and difficult. And the challenge for Peter was not over in the boat. It was just beginning. Because when they got to the shore, Peter was overwhelmed. And of course, it fell at his knees before Jesus and says that he was afraid. And I believe him. He was overwhelmed and astonished, but I think also fearful. And Jesus said to him, "Don't be afraid. For now on, you will be a fisher of men." And in that moment, Jesus called Peter and the other disciples, and that was the beginning of an amazing adventure over the next 3 years, Peter would see amazing things. But 3 years later, Peter would stand before a crowd on the first day of Pentecost for the new church, and over 3,000 people would come to Christ in that single moment. I don't know what God is calling you to today, and I know, though, that God is calling us as a church to do some bold new things, to reach out to others. But for all of us to invite God into our life, to open our lives to experience of Christ, to be able to trust in His Word, to take a step of faith, whatever that is, however big it is, however small it is, but to take the next step of faith, and then to invite others to come and experience Christ as well. And I know if we do that, that amazing things will happen. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, as we think about this amazing moment, as You called Peter into a new walk of faith and ministry, we know that You also call each of us by name, and You whisper and nudge us to take some kind of step of faith. Help us to be willing to trust Your Word and to be willing to take a step of faith, whatever that might be, as individuals, as families, and also as a family of faith. We praise the name of Christ Jesus our Lord, and all God's people said,